Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome in to a brand new episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, and this is the show where we take you inside the Houston Rockets and give you the scoop on everything going on with your favorite basketball team. And even on this August 31st, it's the dead period of the NBA calendar, there's still a lot going on with this basketball team and this franchise. We've seen today on Twitter that the minicamp organized by James Harden is now in session. Many of the Rockets' rotation players, actually I'd say the vast majority, are all working out together, they're getting in shape, and it shows you that their head's in the right place, there don't seem to be any major injuries, and hopefully the chemistry will be there to start training camp and to start this upcoming 2016-2017 season in a way that it was not a year ago when the Rockets got off to that terrible 5-10 start. Unfortunately, those of us like myself in the media are not able to give you guys much more insight because this is not an official team event. You know, this is just a loosely organized mini camp by James Harden of guys getting together in a private gym to work out. This is not something where the team is organized to practice, and so there's a league mandated media availability or press conference or anything like that. So I know the same as you guys. I know what I'm seeing on Twitter from Pat Beverly and Clint Capella, and it's optimistic, but from a media standpoint, there's not a whole lot to add. And really, you can say that about the organization as a whole right now, because the Rockets have gone dark. We know it's the quiet period of the NBA calendar, but they are still working on a deal with Giannis Antetokounmpo. There are, you know, occasional trade rumors here and there, but there's just not a lot that we have specifically heard or been told as media members. So now we're sifting through the clues just the same way you are. But with things being this quiet from a media standpoint, I thought this was a good opportunity to do something different on this show. Since we launched Locked On Rockets in, mid-July, we've looked at the Rockets from so many different angles. We've looked at James Harden. We've explored the additions of Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon. We've looked at the development of Clint Capella. Really, we've looked at the 2016-2017 Rockets from a lot of angles, and there's not too much to add until training camp and the preseason gets here, and we start actually seeing these guys on the floor and hearing reports of how this stuff is going. So where I'm going to take this show is a question that I get asked a lot of different ways, which is, how do you get credentialed as a media member to cover the Rockets? And it's an interesting topic because these days there are so many unique sources of information for the team. You know, back in the old days before the internet took off, you had your print newspapers, you had your traditional radio and TV affiliates, and that was about it. It was a very known and quantifiable structure. And now with the advent of the internet, everyone's on a level playing field, and you're seeing all sorts of great sources. Clutch Fans, the best fan site on the planet as far as I'm concerned, they had their 20th anniversary just last month, and now Dave Hardesty, the owner of the site, he's a credentialed media member and really one of the best newsbreakers that there is in terms of Rockets coverage. So the landscape is radically changing, and a lot of people want to get involved. Another reason, you don't necessarily have to, you know, be a full-time sports journalist to be a credentialed media member. Just like everything in our society, you're seeing more movement towards an a la carte model, and you're seeing more and more freelance writers who come to write one or two stories, and they get credentialed, and you know what? Maybe they have another job somewhere else. Maybe they have lots of different freelance assignments. But that flexible model is bringing a lot of people into the mix, and so I hear people asking all the time, well, how do you get credentialed? How do you get in this rotation? And if not that, they just want to know about, well, who are these media members? Because during the year, you know, we have all these reports of exactly what, you know, James Harden scored 30 points. Or, you know, you'll hear trade rumors at the deadline. You'll hear all the crazy NBA free agency talk in July. But you're so busy covering the real stories that we take these journalists for granted. And there are people who want to know more about it. And so, you know, I think this show can give you a little bit of a look at that. And another thing, I also get asked, what happens when you go to an NBA game as credentialed media? What is the process? So I thought this show, it's a quiet period from an NBA standpoint. So I thought this was a good time to give you an inside look at basically the life of an NBA media member, as well as the entire credentialing process, and shed some light on how things go. Step one of covering the NBA is the credentialing process, and there's two different types of credentials. You can either get a full season credential or go game by game. Most go by the game by game route because that's what the Rockets media relations team and any good media relations team prefers. That gives them the flexibility. Full season passes are very rare, and frankly, the deadline's already passed. The deadline for each season is in August, and full season passes are reserved for individuals and organizations that really cover the team on a day-to-day basis. So if you're one of those, you know who you are. I'm talking the Houston Chronicle, Sports Talk 790, the official radio station of the team, Calvin Watkins at ESPN, local TV guys. These are people that cover the team day in, day out. Practices, games, you name it. You don't have to be at every single game or every single practice because, of course, the Rockets understand that, you know, a media organization is going to rotate different people because otherwise you'd be working 60 hours a week to cover all the Rockets media availabilities during the season. But it's a very select group that are eligible for these full season passes. And the reason that the Rockets media relations team doesn't want to give them out is because that guarantees that, you know what, if you go to a game, they've got to find a spot for you. It's easier to do game by game because if there is a sudden influx of demand, you know, if the Rockets get hot and there's some big game, you know, the Rockets against the Warriors or something like that, where all of a sudden they are overwhelmed with credential requests, both from local media as well as national, international, you name it, the game by game requests give them more flexibility with what they can do. You know, if they need to take away someone's credentials to make room for someone else, they can. The full season passes are difficult because those are people, when the Rockets plan, they have to make room for them at all times. So those are generally limited to a very select group. Again, those people know who they are. Now, the game-by-game passes are a little different. You know, rather than the full season, you got to apply by August, which is months in advance. Game-by-game, you can apply up to 48 hours before each game. But in general, the earlier the better. As someone that's applied before, Tracy Hughes, the chief of media relations with the Rockets, she prefers generally at the start of every month for media organizations to give her a list. You know, I would email her and say, you know, hey, I'm Ben, these are the games that I want to go to in November, you know, and generally I would get approved, but she would let me know if there was any conflict or if there was any further information she needed, or if sometimes there's a spacing issue. Because there are three different areas where you can sit. You know, there's an area very close to the court, which is often reserved for broadcasters and really huge outlets. And again, I'm talking the Houston Chronicle, Associated Press, ESPN. There are levels at the top of the lower level. There's a row for writers and wire services. There's a row for radio and TV. And so generally you can seat, 30 to 40, I would say, cumulatively there. And then any overflow, there's a skybox at the top of Toyota Center where people that don't fit into any of the others would go. Now, what's interesting about the seating process, you might ask, well, how do they make room for all the reporters from, say, Sports Talk 790, since not all of them go to each game? And the answer is they don't. You know, they expect news organizations to be responsible. You know, if you send five reporters, you know, basically overkill to cover a particular game, there's not going to be an easy spot for all of you. Now, they can probably make room for the leftovers in the skybox, but, you know, there'll be a couple of spots for Sports Talk 790, and as far as everybody else, they're going to have to sort it out amongst themselves. And so basically, this is a process where the Rockets let the news organizations patrol it as they see fit. If, you know, they tell 790 or, you know, ABC 13, hey, you know, you've got X spots, and, you know, generally they'll assign that many people to the game. And, you know, if one of the off-duty sportscasters wants to go, the full season pass certainly allows them to, but they would have to sort it out amongst themselves as to who sits where, who gets the access. et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes there's not even enough skybox access. And if it's that, well, you'll just have to sit, you know, in the bowels of Toyota Center underneath and just kind of wait for the post-game interview sessions. What might be the most interesting part of the whole process is vetting, because now with the advent of the internet, it's so much more complicated than it used to be. Again, old days, Houston Chronicle, ABC 13, KHRU, KPRC, whatever radio station had the contract, it was pretty easy to determine who the media members were and who the the people that just did not have business being a credentialed media member. Now it's a lot tougher because there are so many websites covering the team and there's no real way you can have them all there. I get asked all the time, you know, why are the Rockets so closed with credentialing? Why is it so tough to break in? Well, here's the deal. If you let everybody in, it would never stop because there are so many websites out there. There's an infinite number. And the thing is, once you get past a certain point, it gets difficult for the true professionals to do their job. The Rockets have to first and foremost be concerned about the likes of Calvin Watkins at ESPN, Jonathan Fagan with the Chronicle, because the Chronicle and ESPN, these are the outlets where most people consume their Rockets information. So for the Rockets as an organization and from their media relations standpoint, they have to think about, how do I enable Calvin Watkins and Jonathan Fagan to best do their job? And to do their job, they need to be able to ask questions. That's the biggest thing. And you know what? If every blogger got media credentials, there wouldn't be time for everyone to ask questions. You know, you're dealing, NBA players do not have unlimited time. It's a very tight window. Generally, you know, they finish a game, they, you know, they're available to media for 30 minutes afterward. And a lot of times they've got to get on a plane right then and there to get to their next city. It's a very tight window. So you have guys available for really 2, 3, 4 minutes. That's it. And every question takes, I'd say, at least 30 seconds to get the answer, sometimes a lot more than that. So there's really a very limited amount of questions that can be asked, and all of a sudden, if you let everyone in with a credential, it would be very difficult for the guys that do it for a living, the guys that are professionals and, you know, are paid to cover this team day in, day out, to ask the questions that they need to ask to get the stories as they see fit. So there does have to be a limit, or else you're just going to have, you know, every media availability would be a free-for-all, and no one would be able to, you know, ask their own independent questions. So there do have to be limits. But at the same time, the Rockets are aware that many blogs and online media sources do a great job of covering the team. The big breakthrough was Dave Hardesty at Clutch Fans. You know, Clutch Fans launched in 96. It took until 2013 for him to regularly get media credentials through the team. But once he got it, I mean, it was like, you know, the dam bursting. Dave is there every day now, and he's as good of a reporter as there is. He's as good of a newsbreaker as there is. And really, this is just, you know, continuation of the shifts in the media landscape. Because these days, again, newspapers and a lot of the more traditional media outlets are struggling because people are able to consume their news how and when they want it. They can go to a website, any website out there, to consume their news rather than being bound by the traditional you know, lines of media in the past, as far as newspapers, TV, and radio. So there's a lot more options, and because of that, because of the declining share of, you know, coverage from traditional outlets, it's not just going away, period. The coverage is just coming from different places. So the bottom line is the Rockets are open to, you know, digital sources and blogs having a place at the credentialed media table, but there has to be a way to vet that. And right now, these days, it's getting easier than it has been in the past because there is a commonly used metric, or I should say multiple metrics, as to the effectiveness and reach of a website. You know, of course, there's uniques, there's page views, there's visits. There's also, these days, social media followers. That says a lot. And even 10 years ago, there wasn't an easy way to tell the responsible websites from the ones that aren't. You know, we were so new into this era, and really social media hadn't even launched, that it was tough to draw the line. And so the way teams handled it at the beginning was, well, they didn't give blogs any access because they felt, well, you know, how do I distinguish between blogs? How do I give Clutch Fans a blog, a credential as a blog, and not give it to someone else? Well, now it's a little bit easier to draw distinctions. We have more metrics, we have more information, and so the Rockets are able to draw lines more easily than they have in the past. Even so, there are still limits. generally the Rockets don't credential more than one person per website for the same reason that I just got through explaining, which is space. If you gave multiple credentials to each website, even a website like Clutch Fans, it's going to get out of hand very quickly. It's a small locker room with, you know, 12 players in it. There's got to be a way that the professionals can still ask their questions without just having an avalanche of reporters to get in their way and prevent the true professionals from doing what their job is. One of the questions I always get asked in this process is, how do I start off? A lot of young writers are really intrigued by the possibility, even if just on a freelance basis, of covering the Rockets. And my advice to them is, get with an established outlet. Find someone that will let you write for them. The best analogy I can think of, I think Rockets fans recall Jason Friedman very well. He was a great writer for Rockets.com through the year 2014 when he stepped down. And he actually got started back in 2006 as a writer for the Houston Press. The Houston Press back then did not really cover sports at all. They were just this, you know, kind of alt-weekly print publication. Just, you know, they kind of catered to hipsters, for lack of a better term. There really was not a lot of sports exposure. But Jason saw it as an opportunity to get his foot in the door. So he got the credential under the Houston Press. He started doing his writing. And next thing you know, he's known as a good basketball writer, and ultimately he gets a job with Rockets.com. And so that's, you know, you need someone to vouch for you. That's what it comes down to. You know, it's not impossible for you to, you know, start your own blog or, you know, blaze your own path and, you know, eventually get credentialed, but it's really hard. Again, it took Clutch Fans many, many years, and they are the best in the world at what they do. It is very difficult. What the, you know, the credentialing process does, it gives someone to vouch for you. It's an outlet that will say, hey, you know, the Houston Press, their editors, hey, Jason Friedman is responsible. I can trust him. Because really, at the end of the day, that's the biggest thing is the person responsible? That's what the Rockets media relations team, that's what they're trying to weed out. Because there are some media members, I shouldn't say media members because they're not credentialed, it's bloggers, that are not responsible. You have to take your fan hat off if you're going to be a media member. You know, you can't, if Mike D'Antoni says something in a post-game press conference that you disagree with, you can't say, that's BS. You know, you can't listen to James Harden and then say, James, your defense was terrible tonight. What the heck happened? You know, there is a sense of tact, a sense of decorum, because covering the NBA, you know, it's not a right, it's a privilege. You know, they control the product. So it's, you know, you have to have someone that will vouch for you. And so that's where, you know, being able to say, well, you know, I'm Jason Friedman with the Houston Press. That's what that does. And a more recent example I'll turn to is Ali Bajani. We've had him on the show before. He's the Rockets insider on Twitter. He's written in the past year for ESPN 975. He's written for Clutch Fans. He's written for the Dream Shake, which is the SB Nation affiliate. You know, yes, he's the Rockets insider on Twitter, but he doesn't get credentialed through the Rockets as, hey, Rockets insider on Twitter, because for all they know, who's he? Anybody can come up with a name like that and brand themselves an insider. There needs to be someone that will vouch for him. So he gets credentialed either under ESPN 975, you know, the Dream Shake, something like that, who will say, basically say, hey, you know, he's with us, I'll give you my word that he's responsible. And so that's how the Rockets are able to trust him. Jason and Ollie are just a couple of many examples, but for those people wanting to break into the business, that's why I would say find your niche, find a hole, find an outlet that will vouch for you and go and then build your own brand, because really demand far exceeds the supply of jobs within sports journalism. You know, if the Houston Chronicle has an opening for a beat writer or, you know, ESPN or someone else, very rarely do they ever even have to post an ad. There are so many people that are interested in those jobs, and there's such a limited supply of them that, you know, they generally go to insiders. If you're an outsider and trying to break into the business, find your niche, find a way to just, you know, worm your way in, and then, you know, take your credential and go to work. Find your unique voice and, you know, find where you can fit in, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Before we go into, you know, the types of media and where they fit in, I also want to talk about just how each game works, what happens on a standard game day as a media member. So I'll give you guys a quick run-through. Standard Rockets game starts at 7 p.m. Of course, there are exceptions for national TV, but generally 7 p.m. start. You want to be there by 5:15. That's 105 minutes before the start. That's when the home team's coach, last year J.B. Bickerstaff, this year Mike D'Antoni, talks to the media. And he'll talk to them for 5 or 10 minutes about really any question the media has, injury updates, anything he wants to say. Then at 5:30, that's 90 minutes before the game, the visiting team's coach will talk to you, and you can ask him about anything with regards to the game that night, the team's season as a whole. Many times the pregame sessions are really useful because the postgame sessions, yes, there's postgame availability, but generally coaches and players want to talk just about that game. If you want to ask about any bigger picture items, pregame is typically a little bit better to do that. And anyway, going back to the pregame, you've got the 5:15 and 5:30 coaches sessions. And then after those wrap up, about 5:45, again, that's about 75 minutes before tip, the locker rooms open up. And it's generally for about 30 minutes, from about 75 minutes before the game until 45. And this is big. This is why I love reporting the NBA, is because this is where you can get some unique one-on-one access. You know, the NFL, they don't have pregame media availability. Media members cannot get in that locker room until after the game on that Sunday. The NBA, you can. That locker room is open. It's part of the collective bargaining agreement with the NBA. And media members are allowed to ask questions. Now, the downside, players, an individual player is not required to talk to the media in that session the way they are after games. So if a player wants to duck the media, and some do, there's nothing you can do about it. You know, if they can hide in the back, they can go work out on the court, whatever it is. However, a lot of players are open to talking to the media because they know they want to control the narrative. They want to control how they're perceived. They know that, you know, good press is only to their benefit. So they'll talk to the media. And because you're doing it before the game, it's much easier to walk up and, you know, talk to Clint Capela for a couple of minutes one-on-one. And, you know, this is a time period you might can even get, you know, some of the players' phone numbers so that you can do follow-up, you know, text or interviews down the line. Whereas after the game, it's all going to be a scrum of tons of reporters on a very tight timetable trying to get the same exact quotes about what happened that night. So the pregame availability, very important, because that's when you can actually build relationships. You're not in that, you know, time crunch that you are afterward. And then, of course, you know, after 45 minutes before they close out the locker room, the players start getting ready for the game. 7 to 9:30 is typically the game, and we went through the seating arrangements before. Again, if too many people from one outlet are there, that's your problem. You'll have to figure out where to sit. In general, though, you know, if you're the one source, you know, if you get, I'm going to use Ollie as an example. You know, if he's the guy from ESPN 975, they'll make a spot for him, and you'll have a place to sit and watch the game. But the main thing to keep in mind, if you are a credentialed media member, you are there to tell stories. You are there to do something different than just if you could watch the game on TV. So really, the essence of you being there as a credentialed media member is what you do in the locker room and, you know, in the bowels of Toyota Center is what we call it. As far as watching the game on the floor, yeah, it's nice. You know, it's good to be there and you want to try and keep notes as best you can. But by and large, me writing a story on, you know, the Rockets from watching the game at Toyota Center, is it going to be that different from a blogger watching on TV at home who tries to watch, you know, similar footage? In some ways, you know, watching on TV, he might even have a better view than I do at the game. What you need as a media member is that access. And so you do your work before and after the games. After the games, 10 minutes after, there's a cool down period. Coach of each team holds a press conference. You know, there's a press conference room. You can ask questions that last about 10 minutes. Then the locker room opens up. And again, what happens after the games, yes, it's useful. A lot of times you'll get really good quotes because sometimes players are mad from the game, and that's when they'll be their most open. And then again, they are required to talk to you. You know, the big-time guys that kind of control their own press. I'm going to use James Harden as an example in Houston. It's very rare for James Harden to talk to the media before the game. However, he almost always does afterward. So there are some guys that are so good that you just can't talk to them before the game. But by and large, after the game, it can be a little bit overrated because you have so many. You have 25 guys huddling, media guys huddling around one player, all getting the same quotes. Generally, all has to do with that one game. So, you know, does it help? Yes, but it's not quite as valuable as before. And then, of course, about an hour after the game, the locker room closes up. Media members write their stories, and the team goes on to you know, either to go home or wherever they're playing next. Another question I often get asked is, who are these people? What niche do they fill? Because again, in this new media landscape, it's not as simple as the old days. Well, you know, there's your newspaper beat writer and there's your, 10 p.m. sports broadcaster. You know, the landscape has changed so much in the last 10 years. So as I see it, there are six main types of media in terms of Rockets coverage at Rockets games. And I'm excluding some of them. There's also, you know, international writers, you know, China and the UK, they may be trying to grow their presence. And there are some writers, especially in bigger markets, which Houston is, that cater to them. There are a few national guys like Adrian Wojnarowski of The Vertical, Mark Stein of ESPN, who come in and they do their thing. And, you know, there's visiting press from other teams, you know, a few of the traveling beat writers. But as far as, you know, your average Rockets media contingent, I see six groups. Your live TV and radio broadcast, your newsbreakers, your writers and wire services, your columnists, your local TV and radio that are not live broadcasts, and Rockets team employees. I'm going to start with live TV and radio broadcasts. This year, that's Bill Worrell, Matt Bullard, and Clyde Drexler on the TV side. Also, Craig Ackerman, he's doing part-time radio, part-time TV this year. That's a story that was broken last week by Dave Hardesty of Clutch Fans, that Bill Worrell is working his way into retirement. He's only going to do about half the games this year. Looks like the home game. So Craig Ackerman will be doing the road play-by-play for Root Sports. It's a big move up for him. And we will have a little bit more on that story, but you know, we've got some good interviews and insight on that. But before I talk to you too much about that, I'm waiting on the Rockets to, you know, make that announcement and make the news official. And of course, on the radio side, it's been Craig Ackerman solo for most of the last few years. There's some help from Joel Blank, although Joel left the Rockets in March of this year. And even before that, Joel oftentimes was just a studio guy rather than truly being an analyst. It was often a one-man band for Craig Ackerman. And this year, you know, Craig will be a one-man band as far as radio at home. And when he's not, when he's doing TV, Matt Thomas will be the guy who steps in. Matt's, of course, a morning show host on Sports Talk 790. And he'll step in and be the Rockets play-by-play voice on the road. And I've had a lot of people ask, you know, how's Craig going to do in TV? I love Craig. I think he's going to do great. He is so focused and he loves his job so much. That enthusiasm is what makes you go the extra mile. You know, you don't want a true fan as a journalist because, you know, impartiality can play a role, but you want someone who is enthused to go to work, because the difference between a good journalist and a great journalist is the enthusiasm, the willingness to go the extra mile. And so when I think of Craig Ackerman, I think of a guy, you know, these live TV and radio broadcasters, they get the best access there is in terms of these media groups. You know, they get special interviews with the head coach, the players, that even we as normal credentialed media members don't get. You know, and so when I think of Craig Ackerman, I think of him sitting down with J.B. Bickerstaff or Kevin McHale, you know, while the team is just shooting around an hour before the game. And that's the type of access that, even I can't get. And so many times before games, if there's a news that breaks 30 minutes before a game, you know, is an injured player going to play or not? You hear it from Craig Ackerman because he's got that exclusive conversation. And, you know, that is open to a lot of, you know, TV and radio broadcasters because, of course, the team, the highest engagement that fans have with the team is during broadcast of the games. That's what people, you know, want to see. That's the essence of the sport. So, yes, they give extra access to those guys, but not everybody takes advantage of it. Craig does, and that's why, you know, I know that he's going to be a good fit for TV. He does his homework. He works hard. About the only criticism I've seen, there's some folks here and there that say, well, you know, he yells a little too much for my taste. My argument to that was, it's tough to host a one-man radio show. I can say since starting Locked On Rockets, it's difficult. You know, it takes a while because so much of everything is used to the rhythm of conversation, bouncing back and forth. So when you do a show, just a one-man band, so to speak, you have a way of, you know, changing your tone, changing your, inflection, because you want to compensate for the lack of that other person. When he goes to TV and it's him and Matt Bullard, I think that's going to be a really good pairing. I'm really excited about it. Anyway, that's first type media. They get the best access. Second, I call them the newsbreakers. This is Calvin Watkins and Jonathan Fagan, the beat writers for ESPN and The Chronicle. I'd also throw Mark Berman, a Fox TV guy, and Dave Hardesty of Clutch Fans into this group. And what makes them distinctive, they're not just writing, they are breaking news. They are around the team and close enough to where they're not just, you know, telling feature stories or telling, you know, providing copy. They are actually giving you a distinctive inside scoop and sometimes, you know, as the name indicates, breaking news. And a big part of this, you know, they can get access, especially informally, that a lot of others don't. And the real thing that kind of can distinguish here is the importance of road coverage. The one drawback to these, you know, this new media environment, so many of these new media companies, the budgets are not there to send the writers there for road games. You know, I'll say that myself. I've covered the Rockets for a lot of years. I have yet to have an outlet that, you know, was willing to pay for the plane flight for me to go to, you know, Charlotte and cover. Very few do these days because of the media environment. You know, it's not a great time to be in the media industry. There's not many. For the Rockets, that's, you know, Calvin Watkins of ESPN, Jonathan Fagan of the Chronicle. Also, Mark Roman of Fox, he travels a surprising amount for a TV broadcaster because, I mean, he works his butt off. But when you go on road trips, it is so much easier to build relationships and get plugged in. Because when the Rockets are at home at Toyota Center, there's, you know, there can be anywhere from 30 to 50 credentialed media following them around. And, you know, it's tough for anybody to build a relationship, you know, because it's not just those full-time beat writers. They've got to compete with guys like me for access to the players and for a limited subset of time to ask James Harden questions and to get the information that's out there. So when you go on the road, though, there's really not that many. You know, it's just the team employees and, you know, a small subset of guys that are able to cover, like Calvin, like Mark, like Jonathan Fagan in the Chronicle. So you can build relationships on the road, you know, at the practices, also at the team hotel, that you just can't do in this scrum at Toyota Center. So that's what can make you a newsbreaker. Now, Dave Hardesty, he'll do an occasional road game with Clutch fans, but where he comes in, he, you know, as being such a resource for the fans, he has got such good ties throughout the Rockets organization. And so he's able to break a lot of stories on the organizational side of things. You know, he had the new TV set up with Craig Ackerman, you know, joining TV and Bill Worrell being on his way out. He gets scoops from the marketing side. You know, he's able to be plugged in on a different level than those of us who are simply just following the basketball games because he's been a dedicated resource to the team for 20 years and they trust him and Dave deserves it. And so those guys, newsbreakers, you know, yes, they are writers. Some of these types of media can overlap, but, you know, they're known because of the scoops they get as newsbreakers. So that gives them a little bit more of a leg up for things like seating, maybe a little extra access here and there. You know, it's a little self-explanatory. Beyond that, there's, you know, writers and wire services. And I'm saying people like Christy Rieken at the Associated Press, M.K. Bauer with the Sports Exchange. I'll even say featured writers like myself, what I've done the last couple of years with Sheridan Hoops. And the difference between them and the newsbreakers, a lot of times they are more worried about copy than they are building a name. Someone like Jonathan Fagan or Calvin Watkins, their job is to be a true beat writer. Their job is to be connected within the Houston, you know, sports fan community and, you know, as being the go-to source for the Rockets. And so, you know, their outlets want them, you know, they're focused on trust as opposed to, you know, a lot of these writers, that's not the way it works. A lot of it's based on volume. And so when you talk about the Associated Press, when you talk about the Sports Exchange, you're looking at outlets, their exposure goes far and beyond even the Houston Chronicle and ESPN because they're a wire service. There are TV stations, newspapers, radio stations that use their copy all over the world instantaneously. And so for them, it's less about them themselves. It's more about getting their copy out there. You know, it's interesting because M.K. Bauer, I'm going to use him as an example. Is he as known as Jonathan Fagan or, you know, Calvin Watkins? Probably not. However, I would wager that he writes more words than either of them every year. And, you know, a lot of people have read those words because they are on many prominent media outlets. You just don't necessarily know the name. So it's not that, you know, it's not that either is better or worse. It's just a different dynamic. I can say I filled in for MK a couple of times writing for the Sports Exchange. It's a tough job. You have got to report and get so much stuff out there so quickly. So you know, Newsbreakers and your Writers and Wire services, they're variations of the same strain. Both have a role and both generally have access. Just, again, my advice, know where you fit in. After that, the last bit of writers would be columnists, but this is a very small subset that's shrinking in popularity. Columnists, generally Brian T. Smith of the Chronicle, Jerome Solomon, and what makes it difficult is that in theory, everyone can be a columnist. Everyone has an opinion. Now, in reality, it's too easy to be irresponsible, and so it takes years of being a reporter and developing the proper journalist intuition to kind of combine, you know, just throwing out hot takes with actual well-sourced opinion. And you can do it. I think, Jerome Solomon and Brian T. Smith generally do a good job, but it's very difficult, and especially in this era of, you know, shrinking newspaper budgets, it's too difficult to draw the line between fan and columnist. And so, you know, when you do have a columnist, a legit one that can be a good reporter and combine that with his, opinions and kind of guide and shape narratives, that's great. But it's difficult to find. There aren't too many because generally these days, if people want opinion, they go to blogs. They know where to find it on the internet. So when you're talking about mainstream media outlets and, you know, column writing, few and far between. There's some, but it's tough to break in there. Beyond that, local TV and radio that aren't live broadcast, that's KPRC, Sports Radio 610, Sports Talk 790 guys like myself that are not part of the live broadcast. And so what they're generally doing is looking for video or audio to help tell the story to their readers. Again, self-explanatory. Final group, Rockets team employees. And this has really changed over the years. Back in the day, team websites wanted to control everything. The Rockets, you know, they hired Jason Friedman to be their writer, and he wrote tremendous game stories, had a ton of perspective. Well, since he left, the role of Rockets employees has kind of changed. The digital marketing department is headed up by Paul Suarez, and there's a few guys that do tremendous work. However, they realize everyone's got to find their niche. What makes them unique? And so there are some limitations. If you're an official team site, there are obviously certain places they can't go. They can't be critical of certain things the way an independent outlet could be because they're owned by the Rockets and they're owned by the NBA. There are limits to what they can do. So in some ways, going the traditional route, writing a traditional game story, you know, they're kind of fighting an uphill battle if they do that because other outlets, you know, the Rockets.com people would be working with one hand tied behind their back. And so they're going to lose the battle for traffic to people that can be more independent. So what they do now, there's a heavy emphasis on social media, of course, because that's the front door to any organization. Everybody sees it. You want to be informative. You want to be witty and funny when you can, yada, yada. But where the Rockets are really having their employees step up is on extensive video and audio, because they have the resources, they have the access from being around the team to give you an in-depth look that other organizations just don't have the time or resources to do. Maybe they don't have the money, maybe they don't have the time and the sports cast. But so they are really focusing, you know, it's less about writing because they are, again, kind of, as I said, dealing with one hand behind your back and focusing on what they can do well, which is, you know, depth. They are around the team more than anybody. They get better access because they're official team employees. So when they go to press conferences, they get these interviews. They're using the best cameras. They're giving you the full press conference. And so that's what Rockets.com and what most of the team sites has turned into. It's less about writing and traditional journalism because, again, inherent limitations make it to where you're writing with one hand behind your back. And it's more about, the extra mile, telling the story with more depth and more access than traditional media can, because some of the walls that we have as outsiders, you know, there are limits to how often we can be on the practice court and how much we can see of training camp, you know, they don't have. And so it's basically what can they do unique? And so those are kind of the six types of Rockets media. Last point I want to make, though, to those looking at breaking into the business, there is more convergence of these formats than ever before because of the internet. I'll use myself as an example. I came up as a writer. I am not a radio guy by trade, yet I'm now writing for Sports Talk 790. Why? Because Sports Talk 790 has a website. And so websites, you know, there is a very limited amount that people will go to. So your only chance to compete is to do well at everything. So, yeah, Sports Talk 790, you know, they archive their radio shows, but they also want people, you know, who can write well. because they want sports790.com to be one of the, you know, the small subset of websites that people, you know, go to on a regular basis. So, you know, you're seeing writing brought into the radio sphere. You're also seeing radio and TV brought into the writing sphere. You know, the cron.com, the Houston Chronicle, they have tons of podcasts and video interviews with their writers, because everybody, you know, most of the way news is consumed is through social media. You know, someone follows me on Twitter or Facebook and they see a link that I send out, and, you know, that's dependent on the person themselves. You know, hopefully the person has a good personality, is an engaging follow, and, you know, you kind of market yourself. But as far as media organizations are concerned, there are a small amount of websites that you will go to every day, just to the website. And, you know, how do you do that? Well, you provide the most content you can. And so if you're a writing site, that means you bring in more multimedia. If you're a multimedia site, it means you bring in more writing. So there are opportunities that you wouldn't think of. You know, 20 years ago, Sports Talk 790 wouldn't have had a writer because, well, where would you put it? They've got radio waves. Well, now they've got a website. You know, the Chronicle might not have had podcasts, shoot, even 10 years ago. Well, now there's a spot for it, and there's a reason, because they want to capture that audience. So there are so many avenues now that there weren't. So if you're trying to break in this business, you don't just look for a job, because as I said before, their supply and demand is so tilted in, you know, in favor of demand, that it's tough to just find a job listing and apply. But just look for your own niche. You know, I saw that Sports Talk 790 could use a little bit of help on the writing side. So I made a pitch and I got my way in. And that's the way that this business is trending. So go out there, find your niche, know what it is, and look for outlets and see what you can serve. Anyway, we're way over our usual time now, but that's the University of Missouri journalist in me going on about, you know, the modern world of sports journalism. I think this has been a good show. I know it's a little bit different, but this is a question that I always see asked and rarely answered, because there's usually so much going on between the games, trade rumors, free agency signings, that there's never really time to take a deep dive on the media side of the process. Yet there's so many voices now and so many new outlets that a lot of people are interested in this stuff. So I hope this sheds a little bit of light. Anyway, that note, I'll wrap it up. Again, I'm Ben DuBose. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben DuBose. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. You can also email the show at lockedonrockets@gmail.com with any questions or sponsorship inquiries. Again, it's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Great network of shows for both the NBA and the NFL. There's a sister podcast, Locked On Texans, that's about to launch by Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle, covering everything going on with the Texans and their potentially very good 2016 campaign. So I urge you guys to check that out. And if you will, stick with us, because by the end of this week, and especially the beginning of next week, we've got some pretty good interviews coming up, and hopefully some more hard basketball news as it pertains to the Rockets. So that note, signing out. This has been DuBose. Have a great week, everybody.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.